take the cast off.
Okay.
Oh, no, it failed.
The next bill a consideration this afternoon will be Senate File 573, Senator Pappas. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm happy to introduce Senate File 573 on behalf of LifeTrack Resources, which is a longstanding nonprofit agency located right here in St. Paul. The mission of LifeTrack is to build better lives by working together to develop people's strengths. And one very important area of work that LifeTrack is involved in is employment services for legal immigrants and refugees. These services are provided through a collaboration with the Hmong American Partnership, the Vietnamese Social Services of Minnesota, and Jewish Family Service. The Career Collaborative assists refugees and immigrants who are struggling to find stable employment. Many refugees and immigrants want to work but lack workplace English skills and face other barriers to entering the workforce. The collaborative works with these individuals by using culturally appropriate multilingual employment services that focus on orientation to the U.S. workforce, job-seeking skills, English language training, and work-related English classes.
Just a second, Senator Pappas. Mm-hmm. Do you have copies of this bill? Just a second. Does everybody have copies of it?
Oh, we don't.
I don't.
Who does not
sure,
have
it's in our packets, I believe. Mine was clipped to the other bill.
Just wanted to make sure we all could refer to something while you were speaking. Okay, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. They're also involved with job retention follow-up services. As we all know, new immigrants are going to be a large part of Minnesota's future workforce, as well as Minnesota's future. So it serves the state well to make sure employment services are available to these individuals. Currently, we have $250,000 a year appropriated for this program. However, with more than 341,000 immigrants in Minnesota, we're requesting to double the amount of funding for the program in order to serve more people. For some further details, I have with me Cindy Toppin, Vice President of LifeTrack Resources, and then I think we also have some other representatives from the other agencies here as well.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Toppin, and I'm the Vice President of Programs at LifeTrack Resources, a nonprofit organization that helps people with challenges build better lives. LifeTrack Resources is the lead organization in a collaboration that includes Jewish Family Services, Hmong American Partnership, and Vietnamese Social Services of Minnesota. The name of our collaborative is CAREER, and since 1997, CAREER has placed in employment more than 1,850 refugees and immigrants with employment challenges. The people we serve have English language barriers, educational deficiencies, and cultural barriers that get in the way of employment. They have a strong desire to work and to earn a living for themselves and their families. What they need is an understanding of the job market in America and what they can offer to it, acquisition of work skills, and assistance in successfully connecting with employers. This we offer them in individualized, culturally appropriate service. Our results have been remarkable. Employers express high levels of satisfaction with the good workers they attract to help them meet their business goals. Once placed in employment, the clients we serve have an average wage of $8.91. The CAREER program participants are extremely pleased to be working and earning a living and may even be pleased to contribute to the community through paying taxes. Many of the people served by CAREER are not eligible for other employment services. Funding from the state of Minnesota is currently limited to refugees who've been in this country for 2 years or less. People with serious employment barriers who are immigrants or refugees, those not on welfare or refugees in this country for more than 2 years, do not get the service they need to become independent. Funding for CAREER has been provided through the Workforce Development Fund. Since initial funding at the $1 million level for the 97-99 biennium, funding has declined to $500,000 for the 206-07 biennium. We're at the minimum threshold for successful program operation and request consideration of an increased appropriation to heighten the public benefit in this time of high migration of refugees and immigrants to Minnesota. Now I'd like to introduce Estrella Flores from Jewish Family Services, who will tell you a little bit about how the career program effectively works with employers. And then her testimony will be followed by a career program participant named Sudesh Fernandez, who will tell you about his experience with career and how it helped him become successfully employed.
So to Ms. Flores and Mr. Fernandez, welcome also, and please state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, my name is Estrella Flores, and I'm also proud to say that you are my senator. I live in Woodbury as well.
Thank you. Welcome.
As well. Thank you, committee members. Again, my name is Estrella Flores, and I'm the program supervisor and vocational counselor with Jewish Family Service of St. Paul. Thank you for allowing me to speak about the progressive relationships we have with local employers. So basically, I'm going to talk for the employers as well. During 2006, our DEED collaborative has helped clients become employed at 149 companies throughout the Twin Cities area, including Anton Air Foods in Bloomington at the airport, FedEx Grounds, Super America in various locations, Wells Fargo in St. Paul, Supermoms in St. Paul Park, and St. Mary's Nursing Home in St. Paul. But those are just a few out of several supporting employers. Employers continue to utilize our employment services because we provide quality employment training to our immigrant and refugee job seekers, which in the long run helps their business succeed. Recently, I had talked with two employers, and they shared their high satisfaction with our employment services. And if you allow me to read verbatim what they said. One is Mike Duffy from Aerotech Commercial Staffing. He says, Estrella, I would like to thank you and Jewish Family Services for all of your help in the past several months. You have helped me do my job by identifying job seekers who are qualified and eager to learn. I appreciate you sending me pre-screened candidates who are ready to work and willing to be trained on the job. Thanks again to yourself, Bill Weishart, your colleague, and the rest of JFS for the great communication and collective goal of helping others find work. I am confident we will continue to work together in the future and find jobs for qualified individuals. Thanks again, sincerely, Mike Duffy, recruiter from Aerotech Commercial Staffing. Now, Aerotech, they have big contracts with places like Wells Fargo and things like that. And just to also note, these employers like Wells Fargo, later on, they end up hiring our immigrant refugees permanently. So they're not always through the staffing agency. Next employer is Deb Tomasino, Youth Services Manager from Phyllis Wheatley Community Center. She employed one of my immigrant job seekers as a full-time teaching assistant at $14 an hour with benefits. She says her work ethic is really good. She was very sick and continued to come in and to work, and we had to keep telling her it is okay to go home and get well. Finally, I decided to tell her, I demand you go home and get well in return. She has been with us for 6 months and has always been on time. She has not been late one time. She now has benefits, which is sick, vacation time, and health insurance. Our staff participates in a full day and half day training on a monthly basis. And from my observation, she has been implementing the tools learned from these trainings in the classroom. She also stands out in her documenting. She documents very well, which is a crucial thing, a duty for working with children. All in all, the three biggest attributes that are an asset to Phyllis Wheatley is her reliability, her follow-through, and application, meaning that she uses what she learns and she implements it very well. So those were the two great things. And these are employers that are saying, too, that they would come and testify as well. Our DEED program plays an active role in the community, especially with local employers. Local employers express how convenient and cost-effective it is to obtain pre-screened and trained employees. We make it a priority to not only provide post-placement support services for our immigrant and refugee workers, but for the employer as well. Employers welcome a continuous dialogue on how we can strengthen our future goals and for helping refugees and immigrant job seekers obtain and sustain good jobs. The DEED program at Jewish Family Services has placed immigrants in jobs with an average wage of $10 to $12 per hour in the past few years, and over half of them with benefits. Providing sufficient jobs for refugees and immigrants and their families eliminates many barriers while giving them an opportunity to participate in the workforce and contribute to society. Again, thank you very much for providing this opportunity for us to share our story.
Thank you very much. And now, Mr. Fernandez, welcome.
You're going to trade places. Okay. Hello, a member of the committee. My name is Sudesh Fernando, and I live in St. Paul. I am from the country of Sri Lanka. I arrived in the U.S. in November of 2006, and 1 week later, I had already met with the job counselor at Lifestrack Resources to help me in my job search. My job counselor helped me make a resume and practice interview questions. She told me what companies were hiring and how I should apply for that job. Also, she showed me how to use the job banks on the computer so that I could learn to be independent and help myself. I was amazed because in my country, they do not have any kind of resources like Lifestrack. My job counselor told me about a free training, and I was very excited to learn more and improve my skills. I attended the customer service training at Health Partners and received a certificate. I have been able to talk about the training in interviews, and the companies were very impressed. My counselor told me that Super America was coming to Lifestrack Resources to hire people. My counselor helped me get ready for my interview, and I got the job. Now I'm working at Super America, and I like my job very much. Because I'm working, I'm able to buy food for my family and pay for our rent. I'm also saving money for down payment to buy my own house. I appreciate Lifestrack Resources because I had never worked in the U.S. before, and everything was new to me. My job counselor encouraged me to be confident and to keep working hard to find a job. Whenever I get a chance, I tell my friends and family about Lifestrack because there are so many immigrants and refugees like me who need this kind of help. I'm happy to be here today and talk to you in support of Lifestrack because they have done so much for me. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, it's always wonderful to hear the personal testimony because too often we hear from lobbyists or executive directors, but to hear from people who are actually being able to benefit from these programs, and I just commend you for your personal initiative and just going for it. Are there any other questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Pappas, is Lifetracks outside of the 7-county metro? Does it extend out into greater Minnesota at all?
We do provide some services in greater Minnesota, but not in terms of the immigrant program. It's primarily metro.
Are there other questions? Would someone like to move the bill? Senator Skoy.
I would move Senate File 573 be recommended to pass and
going to finance.
And go to the Finance Committee.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Bill passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being here today. And Senate File 582 is being presented next by Senator Ellen Anderson.
Well, she walked out. She's just a
president. There are other testifiers here. Please come to the table.
Bring it on. I'm guessing this Senator Anderson might be across the hall.
She's a little
bigger. Oh. A little bigger number.
Ah.
Ah. And we have some packets being passed out now.
I think those are the minutes we passed last week.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, for heaven's sake, that's right. I'm looking at displaced worker and electrical.
All right, Senator Anderson, welcome to Business, Industry, and Jobs. And this is for Senate File 582.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members. It's great to be back in front of this committee. This was my old committee for the last few years, although it had a different name. so it's fun to be here. I am here with Senate File 582, which is a request for an appropriation for the University Enterprise Laboratories, known as UEL. And it's something the legislature has been hearing about over the last few years, and we've spent some time talking about it in the context of bioscience development. It's a relatively new project located right on the border of Minneapolis and St. Paul, very, very close to the University of Minnesota campuses. And it's basically a bioscience incubator. It includes 126,000 square feet of wet labs, offices, and warehouse space with a number of tenants. And I'll let the gentlemen who are with me give you more details. But basically, the idea here is to have a state-of-the-art business incubator for bioscience industry. And we've talked a lot over the last few years about how we want to make bioscience development a major priority for the state of Minnesota, and we want to do that in conjunction with the University of Minnesota. And this is exactly what's happening right now on the ground in this building between Minneapolis and St. Paul. And it will this important work will help position us as a global leader in this area. So I'm going to introduce on my left Dean Eldy from the College of Biological Sciences, correct, and also the chair of the board of UEL. And on my right is Randy Olson. Some of you might remember him from Minnesota Project Innovation. We worked together with him for many years. The legislature supported that until budget cuts and other bad things happened. And he's found a new niche, which is he's very, very good at. So Randy's now running the UEL project. Yes. So who wants to go first? Dean Eldy?
Great.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Robert Eldy. I serve as Dean of the College of Biological Sciences at the University of Minnesota and as Chair of the Board of the not-for-profit entity called University Enterprise Laboratories. I'd like to really quickly take you through a timeline, and you have copies of this timeline in your material that's been handed out, to tell you the rationale for why this was started and the participation of many corporate partners, city partners, and the University of Minnesota in launching this effort that we believe is crucial to creating startup activities in the bioscience space. I became involved in this because I faced the loss of a really renowned professor who came to me one day in 2001 with his letter of resignation, saying he had ideas that had come about as a consequence of the research funded by the NIH and National Science Foundation in his laboratory, and he wanted to do a startup. But he came to the conclusion that he could not do it in Minnesota. I'd never had a professor come and resign to just walk away to do a startup. That's kind of a risk that I hadn't seen our other faculty step forward to do. He said he knew he could do it out in California, in the Bay Area, where he had been a postdoc at Stanford University and where his son was currently an undergraduate, and he was frequently visiting his son and having conversations with people in the bioscience startup space out there. President Mark Udoff was president of the university at the time, and I went to him with this challenge, and he said, we've got to solve this. So he asked me to take a leading role at the university to find out how other universities do this and what the best model might be, given that we were hardly the first university to see the need for such a facility. We began by forming an advisory board with a variety of people from industry and the university. We kicked off a preliminary feasibility study with a consultant to find out what has been learned from prior experiences. For example, our neighbors to the southeast of here, University of Wisconsin-Madison, at that point in time had a 17-year history with incubator facilities, which by that time had brought about over 100 startup companies, over 3,000 jobs, and have now embarked in building Research Park Number 2 near the University of Wisconsin campus. So that was one of the many places our consultants visited to find out best practices.
Call up on that.
We then started and founded, and another thing that was learned is that these do not work very well if the university per se assumes the role of operating such an entity. And instead, this works best in the experience of other universities if it ends up as a standalone charitable not-for-profit that serves the university and the broader community in an educational mission and with a mission to start up, to help develop and train entrepreneurial behavior. If you look at the year 2003, the city of St. Paul, then led by Mayor Randy Kelly, was very supportive of this effort, and in fact, the city of St. Paul went out and obtained rights to the property at 1000 Westgate, which is, just as Senator Anderson said, just immediately, only about 100 yards inside the St. Paul city line, and directly on the transitway that runs between the Minneapolis and St. Paul campus of the university. So we have buses, as you may know, going back and forth at two-minute intervals throughout the academic year. So it's a real axis, if you will, for development of what we hope to be a larger science and technology community that is in the neighborhood of the university. Xcel Energy was the first corporate partner to step forward with a donation and a commitment of $2 million. We then went very seriously into a fundraising campaign, and as you note on this timeline, by August 2004, we had secured $9.125 million from our partners in this private fundraising effort. We hired in September of that year our first CEO and moved some of the first tenants in. However, the facility that was made available is itself a really interesting site of innovation. It began life as Rivertown Trading, which was Bill Kling, Minnesota Public Radio's answer to fundraising based on selling peddling Garrison Keillor paraphernalia, and became very, very profitable, and then was taken over by Target Corporation. Target launched their .com operations there and then subsequently outsourced that to Amazon. So the property became available. The city of St. Paul procured it. And by that time, we were then able to take that structure and inside the warehouse create a courtyard, a bioscience courtyard, that's surrounded by 21 wet laboratories, about 900 square feet each, that baby companies can come in and almost within a day, as Randy Olson will tell you, turn on the spigot to their startup activities. We closed our financing plan in January of 2004, $24 million financing plan, and then in July we formally opened, offering space to in these 21 startup labs to baby companies. In March of 2006, just under a year ago, we hired Randy Olson as our general manager and leader. The University of Minnesota has taken serious steps to capitalize on this interesting opportunity, and, for example, the Office of Business Development that has the mandate from Vice President Tim Mulcahy to shepherd the startup of at least five new startups per year based on University of Minnesota intellectual property, resides within this, in office space within this facility. The university's Academic and Corporate Relations Center opened its operations there in October, and now the university's Office of Technology Commercialization has moved into the business side, sorry, the office space side of this facility as well. So this is the quick version of the timeline that brings us to where we are. And as we'll point out, it's been a resounding success in terms of meeting the needs of keeping our entrepreneurial faculty in the state of Minnesota. I had become, as Dean of the College of Biological Sciences, tired, frankly, of training the workforce for San Diego and Boston. That is, we have all of these amazing students who come to us as undergrads and as graduate students who aspire to marry biology and business, and yet we had few opportunities for them to spread their wings in our community. This is concrete evidence. These are opportunities for them to work part-time as students in these startup companies. And so in many, many ways, this has become a resounding success. We're here, though, today and seeking support because, as you'll find out, we are one of the very few incubator facilities of this sort that has to date not received support from the state in which it resides. And we're here seeking that support because a little bit of support from you can help top off our financing package, which we're challenging to meet now. The corporate sector has stepped forward very generously with $9.25 million provided in terms of commitments. For our long-term success and our fiscal success, we need the boost of some help from the state of Minnesota. So that's why we're here today and grateful for the bill that Senator Anderson has introduced. With that, I turn it to my colleague, Randy Olson, who serves as our general manager.
Thank you and welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I know time is of essence, and there's a lot of information in your packets that I have included for you.
Chair.
But I wanted to point out.
Excuse me, Senator Tomasoni.
Chair, Mr. Olson, we're wondering, do you have a team uniform, or is that why?
Same shirt and tie.
The shirt is different. Always use the photographs. Kind of pointing that out. Yes.
Same shirt.
I'm glad someone's reading the material. In the informational packet, so.
Thank you. After that, we'll continue. We do check out the ties. That's one thing we are aware of here.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to point out a couple of things in your informational packets. There is there's a memo that follows your letter, and the Board of Directors at the UEL conducted a significant review of support from not only the state but federal government for incubator and technology park operations, for example, in Iowa, North and South Dakota, Wisconsin, and then also Georgia Tech. And again, as Dean Eldy indicated, in most instances, it's the federal government or the state government that leads the financing of these technology parks, and then the private sector follows. So what we have in place is very, very unique in terms of how incubators and technology parks are financed. There's also a list of our board of directors. They typically represent our corporate sponsors, the City of St. Paul and the University of Minnesota and the University of Minnesota Foundation. There's a tenant list, and I have to say that this is somewhat outdated. We currently have 23 tenants in the building. They range in size from a company that employs two people and occupies about 900 square feet. Our largest tenant is a company called Prism Research. Prism Research conducts clinical trials for pharmaceutical companies around the world. And unfortunately, the CEO had intended to come here this afternoon, and then something came up. So at some point in time, I'm hopeful of having at least one or two tenants from the building testify, if not before this committee, some other committees here in the Senate. And then finally, I'd like to draw your attention to this survey. I think oftentimes when you think about technology and economic development, there's an association with well-educated people who are highly paid. And this survey really supports that. There were 15 tenant companies that participated in this survey back in October of 2006. And if you look at the third question, the average annual salary per employee, over two-thirds of the people who work in the building make more than $60,000 a year. And then the next question, in terms of their educational background, fully one-third of them have a graduate degree, two-thirds of them have a four-year degree or more. And then finally, on the second page, the second to the last question, we asked questions relating to growing their businesses in Minnesota. And not surprisingly, access to capital was a very important consideration. So these companies, if I could categorize their two biggest needs, it's attracting quality employees because they're small employers and they have to offer competitive benefits, and then this whole notion of raising money. And most of our companies are financed through a mix of government research grants and contracts and private investment. One of our companies is venture finance, so at least in the financing scale, most of them are pre-venture finance companies. But there also is one document on the Twin Cities Bioscience Research Corridor, and as Dean Eldy and Senator Anderson indicated, we hope this will be the first of several buildings to populate this corridor and to grow the presence of this highly educated, well-paid workforce.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Also, it's very exciting news because we've certainly had a lot of excitement today. But to close with this, to talk about job development, I think is very, very important and very critical to our state.
Madam Chair, if I may, you are all invited to come and tour the facility. We are literally a stone's throw away from the Capitol. We're about 3 miles just west of here. I know we're trying to schedule a meeting with Senator Tomasoni. But it would be a great honor to host any or all of you to the facility and meet with our tenants.
And we just talked about perhaps over the interim it would be a good time for us, for those of us who are around, to be able to go. So,
and Madam Chair, it really is fascinating projects. I mean, these little small rooms are their labs where these innovative ideas that were hatched at the university are turning into something real and marketable, and so it's really very exciting to see it. And Madam Chair, in addition to the jobs and the business spinoffs, we're talking about all the investment the legislature has made in the university bioscience development and those new buildings and the work that we're supporting. This will help take that research and bring it to the next level. So this is really a critical piece of that whole process. So it's very exciting it's happening right here.
Yes,
but we need some state help to really keep it moving forward.
Senator Sklay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Anderson, you've got a very good use of one-time money, and if you're looking for a motion, Madam Chair, I'd
be looking for a motion, yes.
Happy to move Senate File number 582 be recommended be passed and referred to the Finance Committee.
Madam Chair.
Very good. Yes, Senator Tomasoni.
Just real quickly, Senator Anderson, is this the same project that the governor is recommending $250,000 for?
Madam Chair, I believe it is, yes. So at least it's got the governor's attention. It's just we need a little bit more than that, we would ask. But it is a very good use of one-time money. And so we'll discuss that further in your committee, obviously.
Okay. Is there any other discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion passes.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you.
Got our work done.
We will be meeting again on Wednesday, but we will be meeting in room 318. So please note that.
I know you.
In room 318 on Wednesday. And we will see you then, and meeting adjourned.
I know you're a vegetarian.